Well, that was interesting. So I said good morning and welcomed you to the Meta Cafe, which, by the way, welcome you again. Grab your coffee, your tea, sit back and let's chat about the sky. Then all of a sudden, I was kicked offline. It just said, done. Too funny, right? I don't know. You would think Mercury is going retrograde or is retrograde, but indeed he is not yet retrograde. So what in the bleep is going on today? Well, there's a lot going on today, it seems, under the surface. There's the, get this picture. Here's what's the picture in my mind for today's energy. Remember, there's a movie. It's called Hocus Pocus, I believe, and or Halloween, right? You've got the cauldron and the witches sitting around it, and they're stirring this, like they're stirring a pot of trouble and toil. There's, I don't know, whatever it says, toil, toil, blah, blah. And that's what I feel like today is. Like there is this big giant pot of roiling something another, and there are people, there are circumstances, there are maybe the unseen hands of the divine stirring up the pot today, and the pot is frothing and getting ready to boil over. And wow, even I'm falling victim to the anxiety of it all. As I'm feeling it in my gut, I'm feeling it in my heart, I'm feeling it everywhere today. And it makes me go, wow, if I'm feeling it, which I'm, not always very sensitive that way, in my body, but when I am, it usually means something, that perhaps there's something going on, right? I'm even writing the last bit of notes from what it is I wanted to talk to you all about today because I didn't finish that. So I hope everybody's okay out there. Literally last night, I thought I was having a heart attack. I had this terrible pain in my stomach shooting up to my heart over here in my right jaw. I mean, I was really like this close to telling my husband to get me to the hospital. But every time I would get up and wander around and come back and sit down, I was fine. So I knew it couldn't be a heart attack necessarily because why would that go away if that was that tragic or that deep, that problematic? I don't think it would go away with just me shifting position. And then I'm thinking, okay, who around me do I know that may be having a heart attack? Because that's happened to me before too. I've felt the pain and I've felt like I was having the heart attack. And then I find out a friend of mine had a heart attack. So I'm hoping nobody's had that issue. I'm hoping it was just indigestion combined with the anxiety that I feel running through the collective at the moment. I'm not immune to that. I pick that up. There are times I don't know what it's about. And right now it's one of those times I'm not sure what it's about. But the world does seem to be a bit crazy out there. Let's say good morning to everybody. Rebecca, nice to see you. And Kathy Miller, good to see you. Allison, good morning. And Debbie Hedden, good morning. Allison says she finally made it today. Good morning, everyone. Kathy Miller says, I hope the rolling clouds go away. I need to finish my yard. I don't know, Kathy. It's raining here today, so I'm guessing that maybe later in the day or tomorrow it'll be for you guys. So I just need to breathe. Today, the moon has moved into the sign of Virgo. Virgo. So here we are now with Mars still in Virgo. And now the moon is moving into the space that has been vacated by the sun, Mercury, and Venus. Or the moon, yeah, moving into that space. And eventually, through this transit, probably not until tomorrow, we'll come into contact with Mars. That also increases our energy levels and it increases our emotional levels. It increases our anxiety as well, perhaps, as the moon in Virgo may trigger where we're holding on to mental issues or mental thoughts in our head that are going round and round and taking us on that spinning track or that spinning wheel. So we'll want to watch out for that over the next couple of days. And then to top that off, today the moon in Virgo is now in a trine to the planet Uranus over in the sign of Taurus, right? Virgo, Taurus, Capricorn, all earth signs. So when something's moving through Virgo, it's sending off energy over to Uranus and it sends energy off to Capricorn, where Pluto, Saturn, and the South Node are. So it's like a trifecta of a potential for anxiety and for things to happen in the world. And certainly we're seeing that. Today with the moon in a trine to Uranus, we may be seeing more surprises, more shakeups. Yesterday, literally, it seemed like I was hearing about earthquakes all over the planet. I guess there had been one in Puerto Rico, a couple of them in Indonesia, somewhere else weird. Oh, N Nepal? No, what was it? Some other Pakistan maybe had a major earthquake. So even the earth is showing us this anxiety or this quaking, this shakeup. And so I expect that there may be some shakeup still coming, whether it's in the earth shaking, whether it is more revelations going on, more problems out there in the world. I'm not sure. But we also have the sun building right now into a quincunx or an in conjunct with Uranus. And so that's also more of the minor aspect. But when you take everything that's been happening and the placement of these in Earth signs and Saturn, or not Saturn, but the sun being in Libra, trying to bring things into balance and harmony, anything that's been out of harmony or out of equilibrium is now going to be bloop, brought back down into some sort of balance. So we're building up to that in conjunct with Uranus, with the sun. That's going to also be playing out over the next couple of days. The sun right now at 3 degrees of Libra, while Uranus is at 5 degrees of Taurus. So that in conjunct still has a couple of degrees, i.e., a couple of days before it perfects. And that means often things are happening in the lead up to it. So wherever you are, I would expect maybe some more surprises, more revelations, more excitement, maybe more good stuff coming. It could be any of that combination, but be prepared, right? Just be prepared. Today as well, Mercury in Libra squares Pluto in Capricorn. So we've talked about this before. Let me see if I can kind of show this to you. We have the sign of Cancer, we have the sign of Libra, and we have the sign of Capricorn, and we have the sign of Aries. And these are all at cross angles to one another. So if you guys can see that yellow, well, yellow doesn't show up so well, does it? Stop. So you can see we have these four signs. These make up the angles of the natural wheel, right? So in the natural wheel, Aries would be over here, and then we go around, right? But it's just a little bit flipped right now because of the time of year it is. Libra's on the rise, and Aries is on the descendant. So it doesn't really matter where they are. What my point here is that anytime there's a planet moving through Cancer, it sends off energy because the North Node is here, and it sends it out across these four signs. And anything that, like right now, we have Libra Mercury, we have Libra Venus, we have a Libra Sun. It is sending off opposition energy to Aries and squaring energy to Cancer and to Capricorn. And this is ongoing. This isn't like going away today, tomorrow, not at all. It's there. And we've been watching that, as the year has worn on, we've been seeing this building at different times with planets moving through either one of those four signs, and it sends that energy out across the rest of the signs. And so all of us have all four of those signs somewhere in our charts, right? So wherever those are is where you are taking the hit, the energetic hit of this stuff coming up. So if you look in your own chart, you find those four signs, you'll know where there seems to be this pinging energy that moves around the chart. So it's affecting you in more places than one. And literally in Libra, we're affecting Cancer and see, there's nothing transiting right now. Well, there is Eris, but nothing that is of major import transiting through Aries. So it's what's happening in Cancer, Capricorn, and Libra that really counts. And that forms a T square, which is also a highly challenging aspect or configuration in a chart. So we have a lot of these things that are kind of building that can kind of make you feel like you are anxious, or that you are indecisive, or that you don't know which direction to turn into. And today, of course, with Mercury squaring Pluto, Pluto, the underworld, the god of the underworld. What's been buried comes up to the surface, right? Pluto is Hades. It is that underworld energy. Mercury is the mind and is also the mouth, communication. So, what comes out of your mouth and what comes up in your mind may be things that have been long buried and they get expressed when you least expect it or when, unconsciously. These things are happening. And what's really interesting, if you've been following the news at all in this country, I don't, I know some of you are from other countries, but in this country, yesterday, accidentally, an email that was meant just for Republicans got sent out to all of the Republicans at the Democrats of the House and the Senate, or to Congress, let's just say. And that was certainly not somebody's intention, although, I mean, it's possible, but unconsciously, the energy of secrets and of what's lying in the underworld has to come up. And it's coming up, right? It's coming up as words, thoughts, emotions, things that we wanted to keep buried are coming up to the surface. It's like you're thinking out loud, right? Sometimes when you have a situation, you're going, God, that person, makes me so mad and blah, blah, blah. But somehow you end up saying it out loud. And then you're like, did I just say that? Did I say that out loud? Because you did, and it was an unconscious motivation. So we have unconscious actions, possibly unconscious words, unconscious thoughts, and they're manifesting out there in the world, right? So be wary of blurting. Be wary of reacting because the things that may come out may be what's lying inside and deep and buried, as opposed to what you really wanted to say or do or have happen or take action on. So there we have it. Now, there's also some other key shadowy type things that are coming up with this. And this is the Mercury square Pluto that's really triggering this for all of us. For every, the, you know, it's not just us here, it's like everybody, right? Is that of obsession and suspicion and doubt and lies. And exposure, all of the underside of Pluto is up in our faces. It's coming up and boiling out. And making things a little bit more interesting are the planets Neptune and the Black Moon Lilith in a conjunction at 16 degrees of Pisces, which is still one of those middle degrees. It's always a transition time. Where up until a certain time, secrets were kept and held and lies were not exposed. And then suddenly, now we're at the 16th degree. We've crossed over that threshold and it's tumbling out, right? It's tumbling out. And it's not only that. Remember, Neptune is sitting at the gate 63, which is up in the head. So we have the pressure of doubt and suspicion, and shame and guilt and all these other kind of buried emotions coming up as well. So it's like a plethora of the shadow energy, the parade of shadows, we could call it, right now coming up in our outer world. Now, this is happening really, those planets, the Black Moon, Lilith, Neptune, Pluto, all our outer planets, or Black Moon, Lilith isn't a planet, but still, there are things that affect us on the collective. Now, you also have this happening personally in your own chart somewhere, but it doesn't happen in the same sort of way to you personally. But we see the effects of it in the outer world, right? So it's splashed across the pages of the news. Every time I, hear a bleep on my phone, I look and it's another, Trump thing. It's another Brexit thing. It's another earthquake. It's, another thing. And those things keep happening, right? It's another hurricane forming in the Atlantic Ocean and, blah, blah, blah. After a while, that takes its toll on us as individuals. The toll it takes on us as individuals is that of anxiety. And mental anxiety is an enemy of ours, right? We don't, it is not our friend, right? Because that anxiety puts pressure on all of the body. It takes and puts pressure on what it is that we think we need to do. And who we need to be. So be very aware for at least the next couple of days that the mind may be under pressure. Just breathe. Don't gain ground on something, on that anxiety, by taking action that you didn't really want to take or saying things that you really didn't want to say. Don't succumb to the fear that's being generated by all of the craziness that's out there in the world. So mental anxiety, not your friend. That pressure, the head center where gate 63 is a pressure center. And the pressure there is to think and to answer questions and then to take action on those answers. And those answers may not be right. In fact, they're likely not, right? No one is designed on the planet to take action from what goes on up here in the head. So be very wary if what you're taking action on has come from inside your mind. Okay. Literally, because the 63 is up in the head and it's doubt and suspicion, the gate 64 also in the head is confusion. The gate 61 also in the head, which is that kind of awestruck, dumbstruck, gobsmacked feeling, it doesn't make a good place to make decisions. It just isn't. So we've got to move that energy lower in our body. So pay attention to the body's wisdom, not your mind. Now, just to add some more fun, because we like fun here. We have a sun opposition Chiron happening as well, right? The sun at 3 degrees Libra, Chiron moving through Aries. That's one thing I missed when I was talking about Aries. So we do have pressure in all four of the angles of the angular houses in our charts, right? Or the angular signs in the zodiac. Because Chiron, in an opposition to the sun, puts pressure on us to have faith in ourselves, to really understand who we are. Personally, that also we have to find our path forward. We also have to become independent. We have to understand that we are also interdependent. We are all interwoven here. There's not just me and then you outside of me. We are a we, right? And so my actions affect your actions, affect someone else's actions. And so we are trying to mediate the difference between utter dependence and utter independence, right? And become interdependent, which also means that where we have codependency going on, Libra is a great sign for bringing codependency up in our faces. And where that, because that's a totally unbalanced energy. So some people may be dealing with where that is happening in their lives, where they've been codependent with somebody in some situation, and they need to extricate themselves from that situation. So just take a breath, right? I was talking to a friend this morning and I thought, oh man, I'm telling a story here. I could tell this story all day. And it wasn't a positive story. So I told her, I need to rewrite this story. So as soon as I'm done this morning, I'm rewriting my story about what I'm experiencing and about what's happening. Because otherwise, I'm going to be experiencing exactly what it is I don't want to have happen, right? So there's always that lesson as well. Debbie says, experienced this early today, trying to feel my way positively. Mimi says, belated good morning. She's multitasking. Love it. Love it. Kathy Miller says, weird. I was restless all night too. She was dreaming and dreaming, lost in a huge hotel. Couldn't find my room. I was walking up and down halls in a little skinny hall for hours. Then your brother, my brother, Ken, appeared and opens the door and tells me it was my room. It was an operating room. I said, that's not my room. And he said, yes, it is. I was so lost. Oh my goodness, that almost seems like it would be on the verge of a nightmare, Kathy. Maybe some of you out there who are really good at dream interpretation might have something that you could say to Kathy about what that dream means. But the symbols in a dream, usually when we are in a building, it represents our unconscious mind. So maybe there's some fear in there about moving forward, finding the right room, finding your right path. An operating room maybe suggests that there's something that you need to deal with it and in your health. I don't know. But because the symbols for people, there are some universal symbols, I would say, but a lot of times those universal symbols are used in different ways personally for you. So maybe looking deeper and seeing what those mean. But I would welcome anybody to kind of tap in here and see what they find that her dream might mean. Good morning, Angela. Great to see you. Okay, now let's talk about the Pleiadian Earth energy. I think I skipped that yesterday because we really got on a roll talking about fear and the fear, the field of fear, the morphogenetic field of that fear on our planet. And I think we might have missed it, but yesterday was three Muluk, I believe it is. And Muluk was the energy of feeling. It was an emotion, emotional energy yesterday. And today, and the three energy, by the way, inspires us to create something or to start something new, to think in new ways. Now, that energy gives way today to four energy, and it's four devoting energy. In the Mayan calendar, devoting was dog or ok, and it was about being loyal. And that doesn't that bring up a slippery slope? Well, I'm going to read this to you because loyalty here, ok, dog, or feel or devoting energy is community oriented and harmonious. In its negative, though, it's about being stuck and having inappropriate loyalties. I could say a lot about that right now, but I think I will skip that one because it's very political. But I would think that everybody probably has to be questioning loyalty right now, and who are they being loyal to? What ideals are you being loyal to? And does the person that you're being loyal to deserve your loyalty? Question, right? And all of us personally have issues where that happens too. We might be loyal to a program, we're loyal to a person, we're loyal to a business or a profession, and then something happens that disturbs our peace around that, and we have to question, have we given inappropriate loyalty? Am I giving loyalty outside of me without first being loyal to my own self? That's another good question. Who am I devoted to? What am I devoted to? So today we are questioning that as well as the number four universally. We are also dealing with the energy of foundations, building the foundation. What is the foundation built upon? Is it built upon sand? Is it going to collapse? Does it go, is it going to stand the test of time? If the answer is no, you do not have a solid foundation, and today is a great day to establish that, to strengthen the foundation, to maybe expose the weaknesses in a way that you are able to rebuild it, right? Rebuilding that foundation. The foundation, super important today as we move forward. All right. Any questions? Christine, good morning. Great to see you. She said she's. It's good morning to us, but it is evening, I'm guessing, where you are. So good evening, Christine, or good afternoon to you. Okay, I'm actually done with what I wanted to share with you all this morning. So in the short term, what I thought I would do is take a look at where the sun is going tomorrow in our wisdom of the Wisdom Keepers deck. Tomorrow, the sun moves into we start the role of the sun going through the fear gates of the spleen. Now, the gate 18 is one we are familiar with. That is where the sun will be as of tomorrow. We're familiar with this gate because Mercury has been there, Venus has been there, and literally now the sun is there, as in it's wanting us to finalize what it is this fear means to us. And I'm hoping I can find the card fairly quickly here because I'm sure it's a beautiful card. And in the meantime, I'm going to share it out of the book. This is from Rosie Aronson's book, The Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook, The 64 Faces of Awakening. And it's an oracle deck. And it's an oracle deck filled with these beautiful cards that are the wisdom faces. There are 64 of the cards, and they are representing each one of the gene keys or each one of the human design gates. But you could also say that it represents 64 codons on each strand of your DNA. I love that coherence. We've talked about the coherence before. Actually, I'm gonna change that. I'm gonna bring up this card. Something about her speaks to me in the moment. Okay, she's card 46, and that's where the sun is today. And if I can find 18, we may go through two of these. We have time today. God, these there she is, integrity. This is Look at her hat. Oh my goodness. This is integrity. And the other one was delight. So we're going to do two of these today. I hope that's okay with all of you because I know it's a lot of reading on my part, but I really enjoy doing the reading itself of these cards because the stories are literally magical. Awe. And mostly I get feedback from you guys that says you like it. So let's take a look at this card again. This is where the sun is sitting at right now through today. She is sitting at sun, he is sitting at the gate 46, which is in its gift called delight. Remember me talking about that earlier in the week when the sun moved into the equinox window. It sits at the two gates of love, the gate 46, which is the love of the physical world. And the gate 25 is where the earth was sitting, and that is the love of the spiritual world. And we talked about how we are both, right? Housed here in this physical body, we are both. And the gift here is delight. I love it. You know what got me? Look at this, the hummingbird right there. I never knew she had a hummingbird on her chin. Look at the heart on her throat, speaking from love and smiling from joy. And look at that. Is that Tigger up there just dancing? What is that? That is an otter. That is an otter, right? Dancing, dancing otter. Lovely, lovely card. Love this one. Okay, so let's look and see what this card's story is. So it says, luck is what happens when you stop interfering with life. The gift is delight, the shadow is seriousness, and the city is ecstasy. Okay, the story or the wisdom story. Though my parents wanted us to be happy, they were unhappy people. My mother was a frigid woman, ashamed of her body and obsessed with its every ache and pain. Terrified of evil spirits, she constantly reprimanded me and my brother when our play became too free or spontaneous. My father was a hard-working man with a traumatic past. Afraid our wild instincts would lead to danger, he tried to control our every move. My brother reacted to our parents by taking nothing seriously, not even their punishments. He was always having fun, and they were always disapproving of his frivolousness. Once they had a fight that was so bad, he stormed out of the house and never returned. Though I felt my parents' grief, I secretly envied my brother. Why couldn't I be laid back and free like him? Why did I have to care so much about what everyone thought? I was always wishing I was different, more clever, less fat, more successful. As I matured, I came to understand that true happiness required more than a physical beauty and outer achievement. So I prioritized the inner world and embarked on a serious spiritual journey. I sat in silence and prayed, participating in countless ceremonies, but still, I wasn't happy. I was still afraid of life, sure I was doing it all wrong, and that nothing would ever work out for me, not even enlightenment. One day, as I sat under a tree struggling to meditate, an old woman appeared. She took a good look at me, my sacred altar, and the somber expression on my face. Then, without asking for permission, she grabbed my hand and pulled me to a clearing in the forest by a beach. I'll never forget the sounds of laughter in the distance or the glorious sight upon our arrival of the most gleeful gathering of women I'd ever seen. In every shape, size, and age, and dressed in the most fantastic clothing, they moved around a giant fire, singing and dancing with total abandon. Before I knew it, they took off their clothes and jumped gleefully into the water. I was laughing so hard, I forgot all about how I looked or what anyone thought. I threw off my clothes and twirled my way into the ocean. That full moon night marked the beginning of my lucky life. My gift to you. I come to share an ultimate truth. Nothing really matters but life and love. It's time for you to enjoy life's small pleasures and to relax in your own body, no matter how it looks. You can surf like an exciting wave, whether or not you understand what's happening. But to do this, you must first be willing to let go of the past, release all agendas, and keep your mind as open as your heart. Remember, the less seriously you take things, the easier it becomes to get out of your own way and allow life's delightful surprises to take you exactly where you need to go and exactly the right time. The magnificent and magical universe is at work in you all of the time. Questions for contemplation. Do you seem more laid back on the surface than you feel inside? Where are you taking life too seriously? Do you tend to worry about your appearance? Do these concerns ever keep you from enjoying your life or taking risks? Have you ever experienced ecstasy? Was it wonderful? Scary? Watch a funny, heartwarming movie. Smile. Pay attention to the little moments of delight and signs of synchronicity in your life. Write them down in your journal. I'm going to set the intention here for us that Uranus today brings us delightful surprises. Did you catch that in that last sentence or one of the last sentences? It says, remember, the less seriously you take things, the easier it becomes to get out of your own way and allow life's delightful surprises to take you exactly where you need to go at exactly the right time. Okay, delightful surprises. Look at her. She is just delightful, smiling with her eyes. Literally, her whole face is smiling. Delight. Okay, now let's take a look at our other lady who's sporting one of my other favorite birds. It looks like a peacock or so. Maybe that's a quetzal, maybe. I'm not sure. But look at her. Love the hat. I want to dress up. Maybe I'll dress up like her for Halloween. And the card is integrity. The gate is 18. The gene key is 18. And let me just remind you, that is where the sun will be tomorrow. So we move from delight today to integrity tomorrow. But we've already been sort of learning this lesson because Mercury and Venus, and has Mars been there yet? Yes, Mars was all, no, Mars has, where's Mars? F. No, Mars hasn't. That's Venus. Nope, Mars has not been there yet. But he will go there as well in the next couple of weeks. So gate 18. Now, gate 18, remember, is the first gate that we talked about on the spleen, the center that is for time, health, intuition. But it is also where the gates of paralysis are, or the fear gates. And every one of the gates can double sort of as a trigger to some fear in our lives. So here we have the secret of the gift of integrity is to be able to hold your own space without reacting to your judgments or your self-judgments. I think we read this. Maybe not. Okay, I'm going to start reading this, and if it's a duplicate, I beg your forgiveness, but maybe there's a reason why we need to do this again. The secret of the gift of integrity is to be able to hold your own space without reacting to your judgments or self-judgments. The gift is integrity, the shadow is judgment, and the city is perfection. And the wisdom story goes like this. From a young age, I knew something was wrong with the way women were treated in my society. My father talked down to my mother, and she let him. Then she'd fret and complain behind his back, but she never spoke up for herself and encouraged the same sense of inferiority in me. In my teens, I became angry. I saw her life as sad and pathetic and promised myself I'd never be an oppressed woman. So I rejected all things mother. I spoke my mind, broke the rules, and took on the world. I became an independent, staunch feminist, refusing to be patronized. It got to a point where my father threatened to disown me. My mother tried to calm the waters, but deep down she felt ashamed of her unruly daughter. I left the country and built a new life as an activist and artist. When my parents visited, I'd watch my father condescend and my mother make nice. I felt superior to both of them, either rolling my eyes or flying off the handle. I didn't realize just how victimized I felt by my mother's victimization until I was invited to a friend's house to meet her parents. Like mine, they came from a traditional background. The father dominated the conversation. The mother nodded and smiled, but somehow my friend was still able to enjoy them and herself. Her kindness and her acceptance of their limitations brought out the best in them. I began to judge myself for having judged my mother so harshly and for not seeing how similar to my father I'd become. Despite all we'd put her through, my mother kept treating us with respect and gentleness, never losing her temper. For the first time in my life, I saw the strength in her vulnerability. Though she could still benefit from standing up for herself, she had a capacity for compassion and compromise that I desperately needed. Thanks to her, I've devoted my life to helping people understand and work through their childhoods so they can open their hearts and live with integrity. My gift to you. I am here to help you complete your childhood. It takes courage to uncover the wounds from your past. As you release yourself from the messages and the modeling that no longer serve you, you will be free to see and receive the gifts from your parents with a soft, compassionate heart. When you are truly in your integrity, it won't be possible to take the judgments of others personally or to identify as a victim of yourself or anyone else. This is not a path to be walked alone, so reach out for support. Allow a friend, therapist, mentor, or spiritual counselor to accompany you as you revisit those painful experiences that hardened your heart, made you feel inferior or superior, or kept you from expressing yourself freely and connecting deeply. Over time, you will learn to judge not from the mind, but from the heart. The questions for contemplation then are, where do you tend to feel inferior or superior to others? Who are you being hard on, even if you don't like to admit it? Where is self-judgment most alive in your life? Who are you negatively comparing yourself to? In what areas or in what ways does your self-judgment keep you from owning and honoring your own inner authority? What does integrity mean to you? Name one thing you can do today to feel more in your integrity. And how can perfection be an inspiration in your life rather than a driving force to an unattainable ideal? Wow, those are some powerful questions. Some very powerful questions today. And Yoko Ono, I bet it is. You're right. She does kind of look like that. Great question, Rebecca. So there are our two beauties for the day, delight and integrity, two of my favorite cards. This is actually one I don't carry, but is triggered in me at the moment, or will be when the sun moves there tomorrow. This one is actually where the sun is in my design. So I'm interested in these two. They were reminders for me today, I guess. Alrighty. Well, that's it for me this morning. If you guys have any questions, let me know. You can certainly put those questions or comments here on the Living Astrology Facebook page. That's it for me. I will see you all tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. I can't believe that we come to the end of another week. So we'll have not only Friday, but Saturday and Sunday to go through. We are also going to find ourselves tomorrow very clearly in the window of the new moon. So we'll take some time to talk about that and what we can expect. And I think it's going to be a good one, right? The transits of that moon or the other aspects of that new moon tomorrow, Saturday, excuse me, are pretty positive. So I think we can look forward to this new moon. All right, that's it for me today. You all take care. See you tomorrow. Bye.